From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. It is the 4th of July, and many people are taking a break from the daily routine, maybe experimenting with new recipes, maybe hoping to be dazzled by the colorful explosions of fireworks. In that spirit of independence, experimentation, and entertainment, I give you LeBron James in virtual reality.
I feel like every aspect of my game can improve, and that's what I'm doing. I'm kind of breaking my game down all the way down to the basics and starting over.
Striving for Greatness is a 12-minute, 360-degree view documentary about the off-court life of King James. It was made with the help of Oculus VR, the virtual reality company owned by Facebook. And Felix and Paul Studios, the company that made it, just raised almost $7 million to make more content like it. The studio's two directors, Felix Lajeunesse and Paul Raphael of Montreal, are focused on making high-quality video in VR of everything from LeBron's yoga schedule to serious documentary projects on yak herders in Mongolia. They were here for the Tribeca Film Festival recently and stopped by. First question I asked to Paul was why the viewer's perspective in their films is always kind of at the same height. Why not put the camera next to the hoop while LeBron is shooting baskets or something?
Almost every shot we've ever made was from average sitting height.
Okay.
Really, that's the position we actually tell people, we recommend people watch the experiences themselves. So you're sitting down, you put the headset on, and we want to replicate that as close to one-to-one as possible. And anything you do that goes away from that, if the camera starts floating around, or it really, in VR, it just completely transforms the nature of the experience, and it can very easily feel like an out-of-body experience, or it can work against presence because you're seeing something that your body isn't actually doing.
The black circle that appears under you as you look down. That's basically the only part of this 360-degree scene that you can't really see because that's the part that the camera is sitting on, right?
Yeah, so there are a few reasons for that. So obviously the camera has to be somewhere, so that is where the camera is.
Mm-hmm.
We actually could very easily patch that hole. You know, you just move the camera, take a picture, and complete the sphere.
Yeah.
We tried that. But we quickly realized that when we did that, we kind of lost something. Because now when you look down, you obviously don't see your body because you can't see your body when you're wearing the headset.
Right.
But if you can actually see through your body and look at the floor or an empty chair, you're less present than if you actually keep this. You know, it ends up looking like kind of a drop shadow. It's not your body. It's kind of a convention that we've settled on for the time being as being the best way to maintain presence in a scene.
Felix, can you talk about what you think is going to be the future of this medium?
I do not believe that virtual reality will replace cinema, but I think it's most likely going to have a gravity effect, a pulling effect on cinema, where people will want to have more immersive cinematic experiences, which doesn't necessarily mean that they will, you know, walk away from film to go into VR necessarily. But I do believe that the notion of immersion is going to gain traction into global culture, and we will want an immersive experience out of everything. You know, it's all aspects of life in society that will be affected by that at some point.
Felix Lajeunesse and Paul Raphael are founders of Felix and Paul Studios. It's a studio dedicated to creating films and products in virtual reality. Gentlemen, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thanks
for having us.
A lot of people are going to be looking to the sky for fireworks tonight. Tonight, some other people at NASA will be listening for this. That sweet, sweet sound is 2,327 hertz. Coming from the Juno spacecraft, it will hopefully arrive across a nearly 2 billion mile chasm of space to tell a team at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab that humanity's furthest traveling solar-powered spacecraft has arrived at its destination. Jupiter's orbit. Next phase, use a bunch of instruments heavily insulated from Jupiter's intense radiation to penetrate the massive planet's cloudy visage. Rick Nybakken is Juno's project manager at NASA. Hi, Rick. What will you be able to find out from this mission?
We will be able to answer a lot of the questions that are remaining from the previous missions. We don't really know what's inside Jupiter. We don't know if it has a solid core. We don't know the water abundance. Answering a lot of these questions will help us understand how Jupiter formed and how our solar system and the Earth formed.
And how's it going to do that? There's a lot of technology on board that sort of lets Juno peer through the clouds, right?
That's correct. We're what's called a polar orbiter. That means that to study the planet close, do a polar orbit. We come over the North Pole, and we orbit 32 times, and we'll make a series of measurements that will examine the atmosphere, the charged particle environment, the plasma environment.
Tell me about the Juno mission. It's a kind of a record-breaking mission for JPL, right?
It is. It's setting a lot of firsts. As far as an operating mission goes, it's operating farther from the sun than any other solar-powered mission in history. We have the first use of a radiation vault. Jupiter is one of the most hazardous places in the solar system that you could visit, and we're going right into the deepest part of the radiation belt. So we protect our critical electronics with a titanium vault with solid walls up to a half inch thick.
In the end, Juno itself will become a bit of a fireworks display?
Yes. In order to prevent any chance of us ever hitting Europa, which is one of Jupiter's moons, and contaminating it with any organisms from Earth, our mission is designed to deorbit and go right into Jupiter's atmosphere and destroy itself in February of 2018.
Tell me more about this never hitting Europa thing.
Yes, a lot of scientists believe that Europa may have a liquid ocean with living organisms underneath the icy crust. And the last thing they want to do is have a spacecraft from Earth that's not sterilized crash into it. It would kind of mess up the discoveries downstream, I would think.
Rick Nybakken is with NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. He's Juno's project manager. Rick, thank you very much for talking with me.
My pleasure.
By the way, that radio signal should be heard on Earth at around 11:30 p.m. Eastern tonight. Happy 4th. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.